Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, you're here with David and Jonathan on WBFF 97.7, Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. We're about halfway through Deuteronomy, having a little fun with God's Word, enjoying it. Don't ever be afraid to have fun with God's Word. A lot of God has an amazing sense of humor, and you don't have to be stately and subdued when you're reading the book. Read it slowly, methodically. Read it every word. You know, we've come a long way. Children of Israel come out of Egypt, and as I always say, God gave Abraham the first covenant. It wasn't the Ten Commandments. I don't care what pastor said. The first covenant was, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. Well, the three patriarchs did that, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But their sons couldn't do it, and their sons and sons after that couldn't do it. So God brought about the law, a binding statute that creates sin in everything you do. There was so much freedom under the first covenant. God said, follow me with all your heart. There's nothing illegal for you. And you'll see that in the lives of the patriarchs. You see the things that they done and the wives that they took. And then they couldn't accept the freedom of following God with their hearts. They wanted to follow the world. So God put the binding statutes of the law on them, which still exist today for every person who's born into this life. The law equates sin unto disease and death and separation from God. And sin and disease can go to the third and the fourth generation of those who will not follow God. He says so in his book. You know, sin doesn't make disease. It's made by biological agents and germs and things. You know what Jesus said when he healed the man? He said, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. I just cured your disease. And if you go and sin no more, follow God with all your heart, a worse disease will not come upon you. So if you believe Jesus Christ, he said it, and it's got to be true. Chapter 15, book of Deuteronomy. At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release, and this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. That is called the year of Jubilee. You know, it was 7 years, and during the first year, you know, credit was quite easy to get. But as the years got closer to seven, because the creditor knew that if you haven't paid off your debt, he has to forgive it. And it was a way of refreshing the economy every 7 years, because if you look at America's economy, the overwhelming amount of the citizens, a large percent of American citizens are overwhelmed with debt. And they will never see their way out of that debt. And that debt is a drain on the economy, because they can't buy things that will make the economy prosper because they're paying debt. Just like our country is $37 trillion in debt, and half of our gross domestic product goes toward the interest on that debt. Can you imagine if we didn't have that much debt in America, how wonderful this country could be? There could be new roads everywhere. There could be bright, shining cities. Everything could be made so beautiful. But debt is a giant anchor on a people. And God had a way of refreshing the economy called the Year of Jubilee. Every 7 years, all debts were forgiven. Verse 3, of a foreigner that may exact it again, but that which is thine with thy brother, thine hand shall release. So that didn't apply to foreign debt, though. If you had loaned money to foreigners, they were still responsible, because they were not under God's covenant and they did not get the blessings of God's redemption in the year of Jubilee. But we see all through this book, you didn't have to be Hebrew to follow God. God says anyone can come and join the family. All they have to do is follow me with all their heart and circumcise their children. It was that easy. Save when there shall be no poor among you, for the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day. The Lord thy God blesseth thee as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. And thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. Now remember, I forgot to tell you this morning, Moses is getting ready to die, so he's writing this book of remembrance, cataloging everything that's happened to the nation of Israel, from coming out of Egypt to the creation of the law, all of God's statutes. He wants to remind these people because he knows these people. One day they follow God, one day they don't. He wants an easy pocket reminder that they can carry with them and read who they are, why they are, and what God they serve. And if they serve God, the wonderful things that will happen. And if they don't serve God, the terrible things that will happen. And he will go on here in the end to tell the entire prophecy of the nation of Israel that will happen up to this day. If there be among you poor man of one of your brethren within any of thy gates in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart nor shut thine hand from thy poor. You got to be charitable, Christian. If you want to be wealthy, if you want to be blessed, you have to give your money away. I learned that through life. You are a generous person, God will overwhelm you with the things that you need and want. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt utterly lend him sufficient for his needs in that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand. Thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, that thou givest him not. And he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee. Just what I just said, charity causes God's blessings to come upon you in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thine hand into. Unto the poor shall never cease out of the land, therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in thy land. And if thy brother, an Hebrew man or an Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock and out of thy floor and out of thy winepress. Of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. So when you release your servant in the seventh year, give him all that he needs when he leaves. Just like God caused the Egyptians to do when the children of Israel left. He put it in the Egyptians' hearts to pile all of their riches on these people. So they didn't leave as servants. They left as royalty. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing this day. And it shall be, if he shall say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, but because I loveth thee and thine house, because he is well with thee, and thou shalt take an awl and thrust it through his ear unto the door, and he shall be thy servant forever, and also unto thine maidservant thou shalt do likewise. Didn't realize the earring was a sign of slavery, did you, folks? Mm-hmm. But that's where it comes from. So if the man says, no, you know, I really like it here, sir. I know you're letting me free. You're setting me free, but I really like it here. Then he would take an awl, as is a sharp instrument, and he would thrust it through his ear and make a hole in it. And he would be forever part of the man's household. It shall not seem hard unto thee when thou sendest him away free from thee, for he hath been worth a double hired servant to thee in serving thee 6 years. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all that thou doest. All the firstling males that come to thy herd and all the flock thou shalt sanctify unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt do no work with the firstlings of the bullock, nor shear the firstlings of thine sheep. Thou shalt eat it before the Lord thy God year by year, in the place which the Lord shall choose, thou and thy household, and if there be any blemish therein, as if it be lame or blind or have an ill blemish, thou shalt not sacrifice it unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt eat it within thy gates. The unclean and the clean person shall eat it alike, as the roebuck and as the hart. Only thou shalt not eat the blood thereof. Thou shalt pour it upon the ground as water. Chapter 16, Book of Deuteronomy, WVFF 97.7, here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. Observe the month of Abib, and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God, for in the month of Abib the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God, of the flock and of the herd, in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. Thou shalt eat no unleavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. Now remember, Moses is doing a summary here, because the actual law is like reading the U.S. Code of Law. It is written. Everything that God commanded is written down, and you got to search and search and search. He's just giving a quick summary here to try to give these people something to daily look at, so they can try to keep themselves somewhat where God wants them to be. There shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy coast 7 days, neither shall there be anything of the flesh which thou sacrificest the first day of evening remain all night until the morning. Thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee. But at the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, place his name in, there thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at evening, at the going down of the sun, at the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt. So there's a statute there that the normal sacrifices that these people will be making in this these countries, because a lot of them are going to be hundreds of miles apart. They can make their sacrifices at their gates of their cities, but for the Passover, you must come to the place that God will put his temple. Well, first he'll put his tent,
right,
and eventually the temple will be built there. And thou shalt roast and eat it in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, and thou shalt turn in the morning and go unto thy tents. 6 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day shall be a solemn assembly to the Lord thy God, shalt do no work therein. 7 weeks shalt thou number unto thee, begin to number the 7 weeks from such time as thou beginnest to put the sickle to the corn. Thou shalt keep the feast of weeks unto thy Lord thy God, unto the tributes of the freewill offering of thine hand, which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God, according as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God, thou and thy son, thy daughter, and thy maidservant and manservant, and the Levite that is within thy gates, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow that are among you, in the place which the Lord thy God commanded, hath chosen to place his name there. There is always a place for others, and there is always a place for the poor, and there is always a place for the Gentiles. No one is excluded. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and shalt observe and do these statutes. Thou shalt observe the feast of the tabernacle 7 days after thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. Thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son, and thy daughter, and thy manservant, and thy maidservant, and the Levite, the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow that are within thy gates. 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose. Because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all thy works of thine hands. Therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. 3 times in a year shalt thou all the males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of the unleavened bread, and all the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. Judges and officers shall thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. Thou shalt not wrest judgment, thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift for a gift, doth blind the eyes of the wise, pervert the words of the righteous. Your judges will be righteous. They will not look at a man and give a different judgment because he's rich. They'll not give a different judgment because a man is poor. They will judge the situation, and that's exactly the way they will come to their conclusion and judgment. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not plant thee a grove of any trees near unto the altar of the Lord thy God, which thou shalt make thee. Neither shalt thou set thee up any image which the Lord thy God hateth. You know, I've talked about this many times, Leviticus and Exodus, and Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Chronicles, and you know, some of the kings can be laborious reading. If you start to read this Bible from front to back, it can bog you down in these statutes, and it can cause you not to continue. And so many people have done that. You know, I recommend that you, when you start this Bible, read Genesis, Exodus, and then, you know, you get into Leviticus a little bit, and then jump somewhere else. Jump to the New Testament. You know, jump to some of the prophets and read the storylines, and then jump back a couple more chapters of Leviticus. Jump back to the storylines and the other places, New Testament. And you will start to get things that will piece together. But once you've read this entire book, then when you read the law, you will start getting a lot of things, because it will show you why things were done. It will, I understand now why they did that, you know? It's but don't get bogged down in the laborious reading. Chapter 17, thou shalt not sacrifice unto the Lord thy God any bullock or sheep wherein is blemish or any evil favoredness. So don't go out to your flock and say, man, that's an ugly cow. I really hate that cow. You know what? Sacrifice is coming up. Let's take that one.
We won't have to look at it anymore.
Well, Papa, we're not allowed to do that. It's supposed to be the best one of the herd. Oh, it is the best one, yeah. Son. Yeah. I love that cow.
Yeah.
God knows what's going on in your heart. Nothing done in the dark will remain in the dark. He says in here, the imaginations of these people's minds I have read. Mm-hmm. And he even caused, what's his name, to draw them on the wall.
Yes.
You know, you imagine them guys passing by and says, oh my God, that's what I was thinking about last night.
Yeah. Every internal thought. Yeah. Good God.
For that is an abomination unto the Lord thy God, is if there be found among you within thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God, is transgressing his covenant, and hath gone and served other gods, and worshipped them, either the sun or moon or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquire diligently, and behold, it is true, and the thing certain, that such abomination is wrought in Israel, and thou shalt bring forth that man or that woman which have committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even the man or the woman, and thou shalt stone them with stones till they die. God over and over says, if you let these cancers get into your society, worshiping other gods, not following my statutes, evil doing, they will grow. So it's up to you to keep an eye out. If you see someone doing this, it's on you to bring it out and make sure this cancer is removed, because it will spread. And all of a sudden, just like all the inhabitants of Canaan who had a covenant with God, they became idol worshipers. They started sacrificing their children. That's why God put the children of Israel in Egypt for 400 years. He said, these people in this land, which I want to give you, but you know, I'm working with them, but they haven't transgressed enough for me to throw them out. But so you all go over here in Egypt. I got a lot of stuff that I want you to learn over here. And then when these people have transgressed against me to the sufficient point, because I'm a righteous God, I will work with them just like I've been working with you. At the point that I can't work with them anymore, I'm going to move them out and move you in. But he's saying here, you start the same stuff. There will be a period of time where this stuff will grow within, and we'll see that as the nation of Israel starts to grow, the cancers begin to develop, and they don't root them out. You'll have a king that comes along now and then and tries to root them out. Some of them do pretty good at rooting them out. Others make them grow. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just an everyday thing under the law. At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. But at the mouth of one witness, he shall not be put to death. You know, that's interesting because our law used to be like that. But now, you can go and get judgment upon you on the witness of one person, and it's just not right. Because God knows one person may have an agenda. But in the case of two persons or three persons, it's unlikely for those three persons to have the same agenda. The law in this country has been perverted. And hands of the witnesses shall be first put upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hands of all the people. So the witnesses had to partake in his stoning. So shalt thou put the evil away from among you. If there arise a matter too hard for thee in judgment, between blood and blood, between plea and plea, and between stroke and stroke, being matters of controversy within thy gates, then thou shalt arise and get thee up unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. Thou shalt come unto the priests, the Levites, and unto the judge that shall be in those days. It was like the Supreme Court. If you guys can't settle a dispute, I don't care what it is, if you can't settle it righteously, you bring it to the higher court up where God's temple will be. And inquire, and they shall show thee the sentence of judgment, and thou shalt do according to the sentence which they of that place which the Lord shall choose shall show thee, and thou shalt observe to do according to all that they inform thee, according to the sentence of the law which they shall teach thee, and according to the judgment which they shall tell thee. Thou shalt do, thou shalt not decline from the sentence which they shall show thee to the right hand or to the left. And the man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth to minister before the Lord thy God, or unto the judge, even that man shall die. Thou shalt put away the evil from Israel. So if you got a man that will not follow the judgment, he will be put to death. And all the people shall hear and fear, and do no more presumptuously, willfully sinning against thy neighbors. When thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. Prophecy right there. You see that? God said, I want to be your king. I want to live among you. But when you do this, when you ask for a king, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose, one from among you. Thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. Make sure he is one of the family. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.